You are about to listen to South Shore Community Church's sermon preached on the 14th of June 2020. South Shore Community Church is located on the South Shore of Montreal. Pastor Jay's sermon this week is entitled, Hearing God's Voice.
Well, this morning's message is a topic about which I am very passionate. It's about hearing God's voice. And I know when I say that some people immediately think of kind of, Twilight Zone stuff, hearing audible voices from heaven, and maybe even some of the worst of what they've seen in people kind of going overboard and off track theologically. And yet, I believe it's so important that we learn to hear God's voice. I believe that God speaks today, and He speaks to us and wants to direct us and help us to become who He's designed us to be. And if we miss that, we are missing so much. We really are missing the core of relationship, because relationship involves communication, not just one way, but both ways. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to kind of, if you feel a little bit nervous about the idea of hearing God's voice, to just hear me out and to engage with what God might say to you through His word this morning. Well, sometimes our whole lives change in just a moment. Often it's because of bad news. When you found out that someone close to you was seriously ill or died, or that your parents were divorcing. Sometimes it's good news, that we've just been accepted into university or for a job, or when someone pops the question and married life is now just around the corner. When you find out you're going to be a mom or a dad in just a few months, hopefully we all think that that's good news. Sometimes we wonder. Sometimes whole groups or even countries of people experience life-changing moments. The world wars, the ice storm of 1998, 9/11, and even now, COVID-19. In the same way, when we read the Bible, we often see a similar pattern in people's relationship with God. Life is going kind of as usual, and suddenly God breaks into somebody's life. He speaks to them. And though that person is totally shocked and surprised maybe, they realize life won't ever be the same. And as we're reading the story, we see huge transformations and things happen, not just in that person's life, but in often the whole country of Israel or the whole people of God at that point in history. But we also read of people in the Bible who knew what it was like to walk and talk with God, and to the point that God speaking was just kind of a regular part of their life. In the Experiencing God series that we've been going through over the last couple of weeks, we've been exploring what a relationship with God like that looks like. And as I said earlier, I'm not talking about crazy or mystical experiences necessarily. I'm not talking about us always having some sort of intense emotional awareness of God's presence. I'm talking about living a life where God can direct us and use us as He pleases and help us to become all that He's designed us to be, where we're able to share our heart and our life and what's going on in our mind with Him. And yet that kind of relationship doesn't just happen. It doesn't usually just turn on in a moment, though there may be a specific time in our life where we feel that God moved in our life in a way that kind of starts that kind of relationship. Henry Blackaby, the author of Experiencing God, contends that there are seven realities, seven things that if we understand and believe them at our core, that it really helps us to find this meaningful relationship with God. The first is that we understand that God is at work all around us. That it's not just something we read about in the Bible in the past that God did things or huge world events, but that God is at work in the people around us, in their lives, in our life. And He wants us to join in relationship with him. That's why he's doing all these things around us, is so that we'll know that he's real. Yes, it requires faith, but he shows us signs, sometimes coincidences that just can't be a coincidence. And he helps us to know that he's there so that we would truly believe that we can have a relationship with him, that he cares about even the little things in our lives. And the third thing is that God invites us to become part of his work. And Pastor Matt talked about that last week in his sermon on Missio Dei, the idea that we are joining God's mission. He's not just giving us a mission. It's his mission in the world, and he wants us to join along with him. But part of how God invites us to become a part of his work is that he speaks to us. And that's really what we're focused on today, that God speaks to reveal himself to us. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life." If you're struggling with knowing when God is speaking to you, then I believe that what Jesus is saying should cause us to make knowing God's voice our top priority. Why? Isn't hearing from God just for those super spiritual types? No, Jesus said, "My sheep, the people who follow me, my disciples, they know my voice." And if we don't know God's voice, in a sense, it almost implies what Jesus is saying, that maybe we're not his sheep. And I don't say that to cause you to fear or to feel guilt this morning, but simply to be reminded that, hey, this is serious. This is a relationship we're talking about. And if we know that our relationship isn't where it should be, then we need to seek God and not settle for anything less than what he's designed for us. Sometimes there's things that we allow to get in the way of this, certain expectations about what it would be like if God spoke to us. And so I think we need to look, we need to read Scripture. If you're struggling with knowing God's voice, sometimes it's helpful to look at the lives of people in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 1 in the first two verses says, "Long ago God spoke to our fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe." And for those who are controlling, I've skipped a point there. This verse points out that God didn't just speak to the prophets. He spoke to his people through the prophets. And now he speaks to us through his Son, Hebrews chapter 1 says. Who is God's Son? Well, in John chapter 1, verse 1, John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." And it goes on to define that Jesus, the Son, is the Word. And so when he says that God spoke and now he speaks through his Son, in a sense he's saying he speaks through Jesus. So of course, if we want to learn about relationship with God, we should look at Jesus. Look what he encouraged his disciples, how he told them to pray, of course, is one of the examples. In Acts chapter 2, Peter explains the outpouring of the Spirit, and he says, "This is what is spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Everyone, in other words, Peter's saying. In the Old Testament, Hebrews said God spoke to particular people at particular times for particular purposes that he was working out. But now the apostle Peter is saying in Acts chapter 2 that the Spirit has been poured out on everyone, that God speaks to us all. And when we look at the Bible for how God spoke to people, we see that he speaks in very different ways to different people. Samuel heard a voice calling his name in the middle of the night. God spoke through visions to Ezekiel. He spoke through dreams to Joseph. He spoke through the burning bush to Moses. And of course, later on it says that when Moses went into the tabernacle and spent time with God, that God spoke to him as a man to his friend, face to face. To Joshua, he appeared as a military leader and advisor. How God spoke to each person was often unique, often never repeated again in Scripture. He only used a burning bush, a donkey, a blinding light, a military commander once. And so the key is not how God spoke, but that he spoke. That he spoke to each and every person, that he wanted to do something as a part of his mission. And so we should expect that how he speaks to you might be a little bit different than how he speaks to me. But of course, there are also many similarities, many common ways that God speaks. And so I think that's where we need to start. If we start with believing that God wants to speak to us, and then we start looking for, okay, God, how have you spoken to me already? And maybe I haven't realized it. Probably a whole bunch of things might come to your mind, but knowing the most common ways that God speaks to us all would help us in focusing our attention and in learning to hear his voice. You know, sheep don't automatically learn how to know the voice of their shepherd. It's over time, over familiarity, that they come to recognize the shepherd's voice. They probably learn from their mother sheep, in a sense, as they respond to the voice and they follow. But you know, the first and most important way that God speaks to us is through his word. One of the biggest advantages and disadvantages that we have when coming to recognizing God speaking to us is that the Bible is so easy for us to access today. None of the people that we read about in the Bible actually had a copy of the Bible like we do, from Genesis to Revelation. Some of them never had a Bible at all. If you think back to the patriarchs, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, none of them had likely anything written down that told them anything about God. It was all based on supernatural experiences with God. That's how they learned about him. And then as the people of God, beginning with Moses, began to record what God had done throughout history, we begin to learn about who God is and what he's like through his, and of course, what he's done for us through the story of what he's done with his people throughout history. But unfortunately for some of us, the Bible actually becomes an obstacle because we read it more like a textbook, just a place to get information, instead of seeing that it's really supposed to be part of God's relationship to us, part of the way that he speaks to us today. It doesn't always seem supernatural to us, and yet if God speaks through his word to us, it's supernatural because it's him, the creator of the whole world, speaking to us through written words on a page. And so in a sense, the Bible is a miracle for us. And we need to look at Scripture in that way. In 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Scripture is breathed, inspired by God. It's not just the writings of Moses and Paul and other people in between. It's God speaking. And so we need to come to the Word and expect that God will speak to us, not like a textbook. Danish theologian Søren Kierkegaard said, when you read God's Word, you must constantly be saying to yourself, it is talking to me and about me. That God is speaking to us. And I know for some of you that may seem hard as you're opening the word because you're reading it and it's like, it just seems like words on the page and I don't understand it all. But that's why we need to, when we come to the word, and I hope you have that discipline of at least opening your Bible once a day to see what God might say to you. And if you don't, I want to encourage you to join along with us on our Bible reading plan, which you can find on Facebook. But when we read it, sometimes there are sections that are hard to understand or that we don't really feel like connect with us today. And we need to say, Lord, help me to understand this. Help me to understand something new about who you are or what you've done. And that would help me to have a better relationship with you, that I would understand you more. Sometimes there are harsh things in the word and people wonder about them. And yet so often they're meant for us to understand God's holiness, that we shouldn't take him lightly. And of course, there are wonderful passages, promises where we can look at them and say, oh God, let that be true in my life. I want to challenge us today. He is not silent, but so often we are not listening. We need to learn how to hear him through his word. It doesn't come naturally. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And so let's ask him. That's really what God asks, is that we would simply ask him for help. And so if you're struggling in hearing God in this area, just every time you come to the word, say, Lord, help me today. I believe that he will help you and show you. And of course, that's part of why we gather together in worship, so that the word can be explained and we can learn gradually, Sunday by Sunday, how to interpret God's word. The second way that we learn to hear God's voice, and sometimes for some of us it's actually the first way, is through our conscience. Have you ever sensed that God was maybe displeased with you in some way? That he was convicting you of sinful behaviors or attitudes or actions, a way that you treated someone else? I don't just mean feeling guilty when you know that you've done something wrong, but I mean in a situation where maybe you've done something 50, 100 times in your life. It's a habit. It's something that you always do, and you haven't felt guilty about it before. And all of a sudden, you start to feel convicted, like, I don't think that that's what God wants me to be doing. I think I need to change something. And then, you know, you have a little bit of a struggle. Oh, it's not so bad. Or there's nothing in Scripture that says that this is evil, or whatever, all these different rationalizations we come up with. Or I'm only doing it a little bit. When we start to have that war inside us, what's really happening is God is speaking to us. He's saying, don't do that. And we're saying, but God, I kind of want to. And he's saying, it's getting in the way of our relationship. It's getting in the way of you being able to come near to me and understand me and know me. Do you really want to keep that? Do you really want to keep doing that when it will separate our relationship? I hope that our answer to that is no. But I know even in my own life that there are so many times when unfortunately I don't value the relationship enough and I value the sin or whatever it is. Just sometimes it's not even sin, it's just getting in the way, a distraction. And I like that distraction. And I have to come back and say, no, God, this is you speaking to me. And so I need to pay attention because I know that you'd only speak to me about this if it was important, if it mattered to our relationship or maybe to how I'm treating other people that you love. In John chapter 16, verse 8, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit came, he would convict the world of sin. And in 2 Corinthians 7:10, Paul talks about this kind of conviction and he says, godly sorrow leads to repentance, where worldly sorrow leads to death. And so I just want to encourage us again, as I'm talking today, if you're feeling kind of that conviction of saying, you know what, I think I've kind of stepped away from the relationship that God has designed me for, or maybe I've never had it, and we're starting to feel condemnation, like, oh, I'm just, I'm not even a Christian. Why am I listening to this today? I just can't do this. That's condemnation. And that's not what we're looking for. We want the conviction of the Spirit that leads us to repent and say, yes, God, I'm going for you. I won't settle for anything less than what you've designed me for, because I know that that's the most wonderful thing. And so if you're feeling condemned today, let's rebuke the enemy and say, no more condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so I'm starting afresh and anew with Jesus today. There are so many things that I could suggest here. But you know, in this time of isolation, I just want to encourage us to think about the screens that we're looking at. There's so many temptations, distractions, and sinful things that we can do over the internet, the television, our phone, whatever it is. And maybe some of us, we're not coping so well with the difficult days that we're going through, and we're turning to some behaviors, maybe that nobody else knows about, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Today is the day to make the change. If you're hearing God speak, don't ignore it. Because, you know, the Bible says that the Spirit doesn't always strive with us. Sometimes he says, fine, have it your way. I'll come back when you're ready to change. And that's a really dangerous place to be. Because we don't come to God unless the Spirit draws us. And again, I want to say, if you're feeling conviction about this today, it's because the Spirit's drawing you. Don't ignore him. Respond to him and say, yes, Lord. I alluded earlier to the fact that it's hard to love sometimes the people who are closest to, the people that we live with. And so if things have been tense in your home lately, the Spirit might be speaking to you today and saying, you know, there's something that you need to change about the way you're treating each other, about the way you speak to each other. Sometimes we speak so carelessly to those that we love the most. And the Spirit is saying to you, you know, one of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Gentleness. That wasn't kind. That wasn't gentle. That wasn't loving. And I'm preaching to myself this morning. I always have to come back. No condemnation, right? We're just saying, Spirit, yes, okay. I need to respond to what you're saying today. There could be so many other things that the Spirit might have convicted you of. And maybe you're here, and as you're listening to this, you're thinking, I don't know that the Spirit's convicting me of something. If God hasn't convicted you of something in a long time, it's probably not because you're perfect. It's probably because you've ignored him in something. Because none of us are perfect. And so we need to say, where is my conscience seared? Where has the Spirit ceased to strive with me? Because it's kind of like, well, have your way then. We need to come back to the last thing God spoke to us about and say, God, I'm so sorry. It has taken me so long to get to this. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to that point, and I'm going to do what you called me to do. Even if it seems like it's water under the bridge so long ago, we need to turn back to him and do what he asked us to do, whether it's years ago. Maybe it's somebody we haven't spoken to in a long time, and God said, I want you to reach out. Maybe it's their fault, but I want you to reach out. And we said, no, God, I'm not going to forgive that person right now. And God today is putting that on your heart. And you're like, but we've moved on. And it's so like, but no, God's speaking to you about it today. So do it today. Sometimes the way that we treat God is like a smoke detector. Have you ever pulled the battery out of the smoke detector because it annoyed you? Well, we need to put the battery back in the smoke detector today and let him speak to us. We've looked at how God uses the Bible and our conscience to speak to us, but God also uses our prayer lives. And we talked about this recently, how God wants prayer to be a two-way conversation. And you know, I think at the beginning, none of us knows how to pray as we should. We usually begin with lists. You know, God, I thank you for mommy and daddy. This is usually if you become as a, you know, a child. I thank you for our house. I thank you for the clothes or the, you know, and that's great if we have the thanks, you know, element. And then we move on to the next list, the needs list, you know, and say, you know, God, I really would like a bicycle, or I really would like, you know, and that's fine. If you're a child and you're listening to my message today, I'm so glad that you're engaging with God. That's how, as children, we engage with our parents too often, is very me-focused, very self-centered sometimes, and just kind of focused on lists. But relationship has to go beyond that. As we become teenagers, the relationship with our parent becomes more complicated, and hopefully friendship develops. That's how it really should be. And we become best friends in a lot of ways. Maybe we wouldn't share exactly everything, but we really love one another and love to spend time together. And in the same way, in our prayer life, we need to grow up sometimes. And we need to recognize that God wants to speak to us, and we need to give him some room. We need to say, Lord, I've read your word today. I'm coming here to spend some time in prayer. Is there anything that you want to speak to me about today? Anything you want to address in my life? Anything you want me to do? Lord, would you help me to be open to you, to your nudges, to your directions throughout this day? To include him, as I talked about, I can't remember if it was last week or a couple weeks ago, to include him in our day, to say, God, as I answer the phone, as I work with coworkers, as I'm writing this email, would you direct me? Would you help me to do this as if you're with me, because you are? If you want to learn to drive here in Quebec, you have to take driving lessons. And I've noticed that driving instruction always begins with in-class sessions. Though some of us as parents may jump the gun and take our kids out in the car before they get to those. But they have to study at least a little bit to pass a test before we can do that. Why is that? Because, of course, we have to understand the basics of defensive driving and the rules of the road before we put a ton of steel in motion, so that when the driver's instructor says slow down, they know where the brake is and how to not just press the gas all the time. That they don't just say what and crash. And you know, sometimes in prayer, when it's all about us and just about us talking, in a sense, we never take that time to listen to the instructor. And so I want to encourage you in your prayer life, maybe you've never done this before, but to just say, God, I believe that you're here today. I believe that you want a relationship with me, that you're living and active, not just for other people, but for me. And as I come to seek you in prayer today, that you're going to speak. And so help me to learn to listen. And I believe that God will speak to us. Again, it's not always in sentences. Sometimes it's impressions. Sometimes it's maybe something from the scripture that God just spoke to us. And he wants us to meditate on that. To say, Lord, help me to understand this word. And we maybe just repeat that. Maybe it's a sentence or a phrase or a couple of verses. And we read it over several times and say, God, speak to me through this verse. I know you're speaking to me. Help me to understand it in a deeper way. Sometimes then we pray through that scripture and say, Lord, help me to apply this to my life. Maybe it's something as simple as we read that God loves us and we're like, you know, I believe that in my head, but Lord, help me to get that in my heart. Help me to get it in the deepest part of my being, where my insecurities and fears and anxieties are, that you love me, that you're with me. Sometimes as we're praying, somebody who we love or an acquaintance may pop into our mind, and that may be the Spirit giving that person to us and saying, would you pray for that person today? And I'm going to do something in their life. And sometimes we will never find out what God did in their life, and other times we may find out. I've heard so many stories about, you know, parents who their child isn't home or something like that, and they wake up, or maybe they're not even living at home anymore, and they just feel called to pray for their child that night, and then they find out that, you know, they were in a car accident, or they narrowly avoided a car accident, or, you know, something like that. And we know that God prompts us to pray for people. Sometimes it's a non-Christian friend, and God wants us to intercede and for them. And it's not just that they would come to know him, but that for something right now that's happening in their life, Lord, would you just show yourself to them? Maybe it's that God wants us to pray for ourselves and our relationship with that person and how we're treating them. God can speak to us in so many different ways in prayer. But I often believe it begins with those two things, with Scripture and the people around us. And he tries to open us, our eyes, to see people the way he sees them. And then, of course, if God is especially gifting you and calling you into intercession, he may give you so many other things to pray for. And you might find yourself praying for things around the world and people that you'll never even meet. I believe that God calls us as a church to do that. So God uses the Bible. He uses our conscience. He uses our prayer time to help us to learn to hear him and to discover what his voice is like, to discover a bit about his will for our lives. God also uses people. He uses fellow believers, the church, to speak to us. We see an example of this in Acts chapter 15 as the church is trying to figure out what to do with Gentile Christians, because up until now, the church has been just full of Jewish people, and they all follow the Jewish customs from the Old Testament, and they understand that something happened in Acts chapter 10, and Peter went to Cornelius, and God was kind of telling him that, you know, things that they thought of as unclean and rules from the Old Testament, that God was now setting those aside, that they were a shadow. They were something to help people to understand his holiness, and now he was moving the church into a new day where we would, well, hear his voice and be directed by him more specifically on a day-to-day basis. And so they're puzzling through, what does this look like, and how? What should we ask Gentiles to do? What really are the non-negotiables? And we find in Acts 15, verse 28, that after they discuss this as a church, they come to a conclusion, and this is how they express it. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us that this is what should happen. In other words, they said, you know, as we were meeting and as we discussed all the pros and cons and the rules that were in the Old Testament and what had happened to Peter a few days or months ago, that now we're really unpacking it, and we're praying and fasting. And if you see that, you'll see that in the passage too. And we're asking God, and God has directed us. And the Holy Spirit has spoken to us. And now we as a church can come up with this statement and say, you know, it's not just us. The Holy Spirit is speaking. And so we see that God uses his people. He uses the church. There's a reason why we have theological statements of what we believe. We're looking at Scripture and we're listening to the Holy Spirit and coming to conclusions about what we believe that the Word says to us. And those statements are important. But you know, God also speaks through other people about things beyond theology. Sometimes it's about what we should do. Maybe we're puzzling about a situation and saying, should I do this or should I do this? Both of them seem good. Both of them, there's nothing in Scripture that we can see is definitely right or definitely wrong. And so we're kind of puzzled. And of course, God's word encourages us to seek advice, to seek the advice of other people and trust that other people who are seeking God's will for their own lives, that they'll learn and they'll have wisdom and they'll be able to share that with us. And I think it's so important at times that we even ask other people and say, you know, I have a difficult decision to make. Would you pray with me? Or would you pray about this situation and seek the Holy Spirit and then tell me what you feel the Spirit is saying? And we need to do that with people that we trust, people that we know that they're mature in the Lord. so that we know that they wouldn't say, oh, I think God wants you to do this, unless they really, really knew that that was what the Spirit was asking them to do. We need to be very careful about this in the church, because sometimes people have, you know, said, well, I think God is calling you to Africa, and people have gone to Africa, and they really haven't been called to Africa. And so we need to discern, of course, the voice of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we're so afraid of getting it wrong that we don't even ask, that we don't even seek the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we miss out on so much of what God is desiring to do. And we miss learning lessons about how God speaks to us. There's so many times in my life where I've faced situations, or sometimes I've even done something as I felt the Spirit directing me. And then after, I was kind of like, I don't know, did I get that right? And invariably, God brought somebody into my life to speak into my life in some way that confirmed that, yes, Jay, you got it right today. That was my Spirit. That was what I wanted you to do. And if we don't get that kind of feedback, if we don't seek that kind of feedback, then sometimes we're left wondering, was that God's voice, or was it just me? Am I just milling about trying to do what I think is best, or is God directing me? And we need the encouragement of God's people around us, affirming and helping and encouraging. I believe that that's the majority of what God will speak to us through the church, is things that lift up and build us up. And that's what Paul talks about in the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14. I'd encourage you to read about. And he talks about how all of us have a gift. All of us have a way to build up and edify the church. And God uses us all. And so maybe you don't know what your gift is. Well, that's something to pray about. That's something to say, you know, God, would you send people into my life who'd help to speak words of encouragement and help me to see where maybe I'm missing it, because, well, sometimes we struggle with low self-esteem or anxiousness or whatever it is that keeps us from seeing how God uses us. God speaks through his people. Sometimes he even speaks through the sermon on Sunday morning. And I might be in a conflict of interest here. But you know, I believe that God uses, and the Bible even talks about the foolishness of preaching. I think it is. And talks about how, you know, sometimes, you know, God uses people and their understanding of the word and how we're, and of course I seek of the Holy Spirit every week as I'm preparing messages. I'm saying, God, I don't just want to bring my ideas, my thoughts. This needs to be a word from you. And I hope that every preacher all across the world has that same prayer. And so we can learn so much and learn to hear God's voice from preaching. Sometimes as a preacher speaking, we almost feel like they're speaking right to me today. This is for me. Well, that's not because they're an amazing preacher. That's because the Spirit is taking the foolishness of us, human, fallible beings, and he's using it powerfully to make a change in your life. And I'm always so thankful when I hear that kind of feedback. That's one of the ways that I get encouraged that, yes, okay, God is speaking and God is using me and the gifts that he's given me to do. And I'm not begging for you all to send me an email or anything here, but you know, I need encouragement too, and all of us do. And so I just want to encourage us all to listen to his word as he speaks to us through the ministry of the church of other people. Lastly, God often uses our circumstances, what's happening around us, to communicate what he wants us to do. Again, this is often like our conscience. It can sometimes not seem like it's God speaking. It's just something that's happening to us, or something, it may seem very natural. And yet when things that we've seen 1,000 times before all of a sudden jump out at us, like God is saying, this time I want you to do something about it. I think of Kay Warren, who was in, I think, a dentist's office, and she picked up a magazine, and there was a picture, an article on AIDS in Africa, and it was like it just hit her that God wanted her to do something about it. And she's like, God, I'm nobody special. I'm just a pastor's wife, and I usually just do all the behind-the-scenes stuff, and nobody sees me. What would you want me to do about that? And yet God used her to create a huge ministry called the Peace Plan. Not directly, but she's been used to help and to encourage people in that. And so it's become this huge ministry, way bigger than her, because God spoke to her as she read a magazine article. And so God will use circumstances, things you read and see, to engage your heart and to say, I want you to do something about this. This is part of my calling on your life. Sometimes we can get too deep into this and think, you know, that everything that happens to us, you know, oh, that must be God doing something. And I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if we notice something, that we need to try to be sensitive to things, that God may be trying to speak to us through our circumstances. And so we always come back to God and say, God, is there something that you're trying to say to me here? And sometimes we may even use what some people call fleeces based on the story of Gideon, where we kind of say, God, if that was you speaking, would you confirm it? You know, would you send somebody along from the church, right? The body, to confirm that this is you speaking and calling me to do this. But God uses our circumstances to speak to us. In John chapter 5, verses 19 to 20, Jesus says, the Son can only do what he sees his Father doing. The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. I believe that God, just like he did with Jesus, is doing the same. He's showing us all that he does, all that he wants to be doing in and around us. And as he's showing that, that's part of his invitation to say, hey, why don't you join me in this? In looking at how God speaks to us, however, I cannot miss addressing the fact that sometimes God speaks most powerfully when he doesn't speak at all, when we have times of silence in our life. And some people have called this the dark night of the soul. If you've had a close relationship with God and you feel like he's speaking to you and directing you, and then there's a period in your life where it's just like something shut off, like when you pray, it's just bouncing off the ceiling and you don't feel like you're being directed of God the way you were, and you wonder if there's something wrong with you, and there can be kind of an anguish, and that's why they call it the dark night of the soul, if you've felt close to God. Or sometimes it happens more gradually, and we're maybe actually becoming a little bit cold in our walk towards the Lord, and so God just gets quiet. He's tried to get our attention, and he gets quiet. But I want to encourage us not to always jump to the conclusion that something is desperately wrong if God isn't speaking the way he spoke before. Chess master and sought-after mentor Bruce Pandolfini says, my lessons consist of a lot of silence. I listen to other teachers, and they're always talking. I let my students think. If I do ask a question and I don't get the right answer, I'll rephrase the question and wait. I never give the answer. Most of us don't really appreciate the power of silence. Some of the most effective communication between student and teacher, between master players and novices, takes place during these periods. Well, I don't know if God plays chess, but I do know that he's a master teacher. And that he too can communicate volumes through silence. Not necessarily as a punishment, but as a way sometimes to make us to seek deeper. I think of the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19. And God says to Elijah, I'm going to come and speak to you. And there's an earthquake, but God's voice is not in the earthquake. There's a fire, but God's voice is not in the fire. There's wind, but his voice is not in the howling wind. And then it says there's just a still small voice, a gentle whisper. And Elijah covers his face and comes out of the cave that he was in, and God speaks to him. I think sometimes as God gets quieter, then the things that are wrong in our lives get louder. Sometimes if we're so close and it seems like things are going great, but we're ignoring God in an area, he gets quieter so that we'll say, hey, God, what's going on? And we'll pay attention to that. Sometimes it's just that he wants a deeper relationship with us. And we've kind of had it all on the surface. Hey, God, great, happy to see you today. You know, that kind of very surface relationship, somewhat like sometimes how we treat each other on Sunday mornings. And he wants something deeper, just like all of us need deeper relationships. And so the way that we've been praying, and feeling his presence, he just holds back a little bit. And as he does, then we start to press in a little bit closer. And he's like, yeah, that's where I want you. Press into me. And I can show you so many more things. Sometimes we've gotten so used to the way that he speaks to us that we've almost like got it down to a pattern. Okay, if I want God to speak to me, well, this is what I do. I make sure everything's quiet, and I write out a list of all the things to do so that nothing distracts me. And then, you know, I read some scripture and I sing a song and I pray, and then God always speaks to me. Well, sometimes God doesn't like our formulas because that's not how relationships work. And so he's like, no, I wanted you to be able to hear me when you're on the subway, when everything is noisy around you so that I can direct you. So you're going to have to learn to hear my voice just on the go while you're doing things. And so I want you to seek me harder. And so I want to encourage us today. Don't be discouraged. If God is silent, there's a good reason. And we need to persevere. We need to keep seeking him. We need to press in and say, God, I will not settle for anything less than the relationship that you've designed me for. And of course, as God speaks to us, he's going to ask us at times to do uncomfortable things. Just like a driving instructor at first when they, you know, are saying, turn left, and you're like, right here? And they say, yeah, right here, right now. And if you wait too long, well, you miss it. You go past it. And if you have a patient driver's instructor, they say, that's okay. Just slow down. We're going to turn in here, and we'll get turned around, and we'll go back. And, you know, God is like the patient one, not like the impatient one who yells at us. You know, he's so patient and gracious towards us. But he does ask us to do things that are outside our comfort zones. And so I want to challenge us today that when God speaks, we have to be ready for the challenge. We have to expect him to ask us to do uncomfortable things, to love our enemies, to do good to people who spitefully use us, as Jesus said, to take risks, sometimes even just the risk of offering help to someone, which shouldn't be that big of a risk, but yet we're so nervous about it sometimes. And God's going to challenge you in some area of your life. Are you open to it today? Are you saying, yes, God? I hope that you are. Because, you know, when we get outside of our comfort zone and God uses us powerfully, it's so exciting. And we're like, why didn't I do this before? Why didn't I take a risk? It builds our faith. You might be listening to me this morning and saying, you know, I'd like to believe that, Pastor Jay, but I've had so much experience of silence. I've had so much experience of trying stuff, and it just didn't work. And maybe it's because we never took the risk. And God was calling us to take the risk. And if we just step out, then we'll see the confirmation. Then we'll realize, oh, that was God speaking to me. It seemed like me. I thought it was all in my head, but that was God directing my thoughts. God interacts to give us direction, truth, wisdom, guidance, courage, and sometimes just to let us know how much he loves us most of all, probably. He wants us to feel like we're directed and guided. Not that there won't be any periods of uncertainty. That's part of the growing in faith and taking getting out of our comfort zones. But that we would continually be guided and challenged in our walk with Him. That it would be an adventure. And so this morning, as Jennifer comes to lead us in a song, I want to challenge us. If we've stepped back from the adventure or maybe never been a part of it, this morning we have an opportunity to reach out to God. And so whether for you that is, Lord, I'm not sure I have a relationship with You. Would You help me? Sometimes that means that we begin by repenting, by saying, God, I'm sorry for the wrong things I've done. I accept what You did for me on the cross and that it covers all my sin. Would You be my master? Would You be my Lord? Would You direct me and guide me into the relationship that You have for me? For some of us, it's just a coming back, a saying, you know, I realize that I've let things grow stale and cold in my relationship to God. And today, God, I'm listening. I hear You. I want You to move in my life in a new and a fresh way. Oh, I know that God just longs for those kind of prayers. And He'll meet us. He'll meet you on your couch or chair or whatever it is, or maybe even if you're standing this morning, because this is a holy moment for you. God is reaching out to you and calling to you. Are you listening? Will we step into the adventure that He's calling us to? The song that we're going to sing is simply an expression of how much we need Him. And it talks about His holy word. And when we sing those words, I want you to picture not just the Bible, but God speaking to you. And maybe this morning you don't need the words that are going to come on the screen. Maybe there's something that you need to get right in your life or whatever. And you can just pray it even as we sing and say, God, I'm getting this right so that we can move ahead in relationship. God, I just so desperately desire more of You. Would You come in the power of Your Holy Spirit? Let that be the prayer of our heart. We come before You desperate for more and more and more of You. Lord, no matter how close we are, no matter how often we hear Your voice, we know that there are times that we miss it, that we miss what You have for us. And so God, today we come to You and simply repent for where we're not listening, for where we're maybe distracted, oblivious. And God, we ask You by the power of Your Holy Spirit, would You sensitize our hearts? Would You help us to hear Your still small voice? Would You help us to learn to hear Your voice in all these different ways through Your word, through our times of prayer and seeking You, through the ministry of Your church to us, through our circumstances, even through silence, God, would You help us to learn to hear Your voice, that we would be sheep who know the voice of our shepherd? Because God, we know that that's so key to us truly having the relationship that we want to have with You. It's so key to us becoming the people that You've designed us to be. It's so key to us actually living out the mission that You've called us to live as Your church. And so God, we invite You. Have Your way in us. Open our hearts to You. Open our ears to hear You, our eyes to see You at work. Help us to be willing to take the risks that You call us to do, no matter how small or big they are, to recognize that where You call us, You also provide for us to do the things, the strength and the wisdom to do the things that You're calling us to do. And God, we believe that as we do this, that You are going to do amazing, awesome things through our lives, that none of us are too insignificant for You to use, None of us have done anything so disastrous in our life that you can't still use us. In fact, you take the disasters and you use them powerfully for your glory. You make beautiful things out of them. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're that kind of God, that you love us. And part of your redeeming work in us is to take the broken things of our lives and use them for your glory. Oh, what an awesome God you are. We thank you today for who you are, for how much you love us. We thank you that you desire to use us and that you do use us. And so, God, we look forward to what you're going to continue to do in and through us, your church, individually and all together. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Thank you, God. We promise to give you the praise and the honor and the glory forever and ever. Amen.